Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's new car energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. Last week it was Huey Lewis with an incredible story of his music, 30 million albums that he sold, and also 4 years ago when he lost his ability to hear pitch and tone, so he's been unable to perform. That was a hell of a story, guys. But you went to the Lucille Ball Museum in Jamestown, Mr. Krenn.
I did. I'm sorry I missed the podcast. I'm happy it's 37. The reason Larry's happy about 37 is we thought this would only last 27. So we are 10 over, and we were just both amazed. But Jamestown, New York has a museum there. Lucille Ball grew up in Jamestown, of all things. And Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz were so big in the 50s, their show, that... Okay, AFC Championship game. Draws, what, 45 million people to watch. Not the Super Bowl, which is huge, but AFC Championship. Lucille Ball's show drew 45 million every week to watch her show. So she had an AFC Championship game rating every single episode.
And what was the population of the country back then?
Not as big, of
that
course.
That would explain why they were wealthy.
Whatever it was in the 50s. But they owned everything. But so the museum, though, features her and Desi Arnaz, but it's also, they want to turn into a Cooperstown of... stand-up, and all forms of comedy, actually. So you'll have things, clips from Jim Gaffigan. There's a room, an entire room with just all kind of like little scripts of paper, little doodles of George Carlin. It's just all George Carlin's. Yeah, and you'll see, you know, the Hippie Dippy Weatherman scribbled or Seven Dirty Words scribbled. But it's all from his notebooks. And all, it's how he wrote his, so there's a whole room just dedicated to Carlin. So that's why I'm saving Larry's scraps. So one day when we have the museum, I will have the Larry room.
Save that cocktail napkin. It'll be worth nothing someday.
Yes, Larry's ideas on there. Like, I wish Dollar Store sold gasoline or something, whatever.
These are big. Well, one of the things we get to
do. Don't Dollar Store should sell gasoline.
On the podcast is create a thematic. And we are very excited because we have a legendary artist who's got a legendary event coming up. Tom Boss. Tom is, you can tell by his hands because he still has paint on them, which is, as you would expect
an artist would do that.
Get off his
green
glasses.
And white paint on his elbow.
Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Hey,
appreciate you coming in.
I'm flattered and humbled to be here, Larry. I have a Huey Lewis story.
Let's hear it, man.
So I put my Penn State degree to good use years ago as the pirate parrot because my sweet dance moves.
Okay.
And they had a concert after a game scheduled, and my dressing room was in the visiting football team locker room at Three River Stadium. So about halfway through the game, I went back to my locker room to change because I just would get soaked.
Right, your parrot outfit.
They had the whole locker room set up as their holding area, their green room for whatever the for the show. So the whole band is in the room, and I come waltzing in with the head off, sweating, and then, dude, man,
it's the parrot.
You're the parrot. So
instantly,
it was fully catered, and my eyes opened up because I would eat a hot dog during the game. And the Pirates were very nice employers, but they weren't like feeding me that well. And so my eyes lit up. Long story short, I'm sitting at the couch with the band drinking beers for like two innings. Don't tell. They can't fire me. There's a
that's too late.
Statue of limitations.
There is a statue.
But they were so great. He was so great. So nice.
How cool is that?
How cool is it that he was the pirate parrot?
That's what I'm saying. Who could have thought that when you were a little kid, say, one day you're going to be in a parrot outfit drinking with a rock star?
I had a job offer with a sporting news magazine to be an illustrator and a designer, and I was going to be at Editora Cartoonist. It was a dream job.
Yeah.
But being Parrot was much better.
It was hotter and better, very creative. But my sister showed me a post, Nancy Mosser Casting.
Yes.
She showed me an article in the Post Gazette. The Pirates were having auditions for the Parrot. She said, "You got to do this."
My Nancy
parents
knew.
Were theater people. And I was a cheerleader at Penn State. So okay. I like, I was just.
Yes, you had the.
So, yeah.
For those that don't know, your sister is the preeminent casting director in town right. now. And she's been doing that for a long time. And I know your brother in law, Jack Bailey, who I did. Commercials with for
production
years and years.
Legendary producer,
but he's a,
legendary. There's
he's
a lot of legendary
professor. In
yep.
So you come, your Thanksgiving table must be really interesting with all the different
right, very, very collected.
Come from good stock,
just in all your own family.
There's a lot of creativity too, and the entrepreneurial mm-hmm. creativity,
really.
Huh. Well, so yeah, I decided I wanted to, I had this itch to perform, which is great to have Maria here,
right?
And yeah, all artists, comedians, writers, actors, they have to have income coming in. So
yes.
I jumped around in a bird suit to, I had a studio on the South Side and I just kept pushing.
And that's what's funny. We were talking off the air that artists, man, it's a roller, you know, roller gets up, but nah, it's up. That's the game. It's the way it is. And the, I was saying, Tommy, you're on the upswing, man. Things are going with the art, your artwork is, you know, kind of exploding. A new branch on your tree you're growing or whatever, however you describe it, but it's getting different.
You guys with the same. You're having a podcast. This is a whole new genre.
Right.
But I don't like the term emerging artist.
No.
Never stop emerging.
You never stop.
As a voiceover, radio host, podcast host, dancer, performer.
Yeah, but how do you go from being a parrot to being a premier artist?
I was doing it the whole time.
Okay.
I was doing it.
It just seems like an odd combination.
Fine line.
No, it was just, you know, people, a fine actor, singer. Some famous movie star, they waited tables.
So oh, yeah. Well, there's actually right. performing in what you're...
But it was incredibly creative
right.
doing the Parrot.
That's what I'm saying.
I would bring in
performance.
Because he had three River Stadium. They had that awful AstroTurf that we'd see water stains drying during games.
You were doing physical comedy.
Yeah, and I drove the four-wheeler, and I tried... The players would take bets on how if I'd run over Barry Bonds, you know. They were like... The kitty was up to like $40,000 yeah. if I would hit Bonds on the four-wheeler.
Wow.
So, true story.
Let's talk about your new exhibit, because in the politically correct world we live in, I heard you had a little issue on social media
right.
just because of the name of the exhibit, right?
I think Instagram shut me down.
Why?
On Mosser Design. I can't figure out why, but I think I would say, like if there was a big face of, no, I would say big face of Maria Angelica Caruso.
Okay.
Have you seen Maria lately? She's getting awfully big. Here is her big face. I would
right.
say stuff like that just as a cute
and someone
thing.
Thought you were
big.
Body shaming.
I was body shaming.
That's
wow.
so crazy.
I know. So I have to, I'm going through all the websites and trying to
and let's
back.
Be honest, Maria Angelica Caruso as a dancer
yeah.
cannot be shamed for her body.
No.
And she is one of your subjects. And Maria, we appreciate you coming out.
Thanks for
we
having
enjoyed
me.
Our day with you as well. And
yes.
I forget what episode 21 maybe.
How do you
something.
Remember that? It's amazing.
Yeah, we
how
had a great
day.
We had a great interchange. Maria is an
tap dance.
Internationally
that's right.
known.
You guys
dancer.
Are supposed to tap dance
right.
for
we
us.
Did. We tap dance.
We want the taps.
That's right. Now that's how we found out Sheila was a dancer as well.
Yes.
She hid this talent
like
from being
say dancer.
An anchor woman.
I like to say dancer.
Like
here's their Larry. Did you catch Larry saying dancer?
Well, that's like what
I like that.
I know.
Very professional.
Hello, love. You're a dancer.
Dancer.
You're
a dancer.
Dancer. That's how we
dancers
say it here.
Dance the night yes. away.
But if you say
dancer.
Dancer.
Dancer. You, well, yes.
It's like when I'm
tiny,
correct.
Tiny dancer.
The guy
actually, you're
that
a
used
tiny
to run
dancer.
The opera, Tito Cababianco, he said opera.
Opera.
It sounds
and
so.
Pittsburgh would say opera.
Opera.
You know, Maria Angelica Caruso. Opera. She's really good, Jimmy. I used to listen to years ago, and she's a good dancer.
But she is an international
she can kick
performer.
Up, she can kick and, up some dust.
She's done a lot of shows and has taught a lot of talent over the years. So, the question.
We met dancing.
You met Tom Mosser dancing.
Yeah.
So, Maria, describe this interaction with Tom on stage as you created this. You called it an installation.
I call it an installation. So our concept was that we were going to take the show title, which was Phoenix Rising, and we were going to kind of create that into a live art installation. So we came up with three canvases that were going to be held by dancers that were going to be also moving around the space. But the idea was is as he was painting, his back was to the audience, I was the vision, the phoenix, that would kind of move around. And so it, the whole piece was really focused on, not on me necessarily, but on him actually painting the strokes, the way he used his body. And at the end, the dancers flipped all the canvases and it became one giant phoenix.
Wow.
3 5-foot by 7-foot mm-hmm. canvases. So I would paint for a while. They'd take one off, put back, okay. back on.
So everyone, no one knew what he was painting. And everyone's like, "Who this?" And he was like, I mean, you should have seen him so dancing. It
comes together as the phoenix, you know. Yeah. That was really cool. So it was amazing. So it was amazing to be on stage at the Bayam.
At the Bayam,
With her. And you were kind of retiring then, and that didn't happen.
Favre of dance.
But that wasn't choreographed. Maria, that wasn't choreographed. You were just going with it? That wasn't choreographed, like, most of it?
No, for that particular section of the whole evening show.
It was a mood.
It was all about the improvisation.
Totally improv.
So I think we did kind of play up the idea of, like, where I was going to be in space. Because it wasn't really actually... It was really hard to stage because, you know, you had these giant pieces, and he had 4 minutes... to complete each of the 3 pieces.
So I paint with both hands. So I'm ambidextrous, so that helps. And that's very theatrical, too, when you...
Right.
It just, you know, piano players play with both hands.
I don't know that I've ever even heard of a performance like that.
No.
You talk about immersive art.
It's awesome.
So
I wish we could have done, like, a series.
How did you choose the subjects for your exhibit?
So Really Big Faces was supposed to take place in March 13th, 2020. There was a little shutdown that weekend. So initially it was going to be like 15 friends. Mayor Peduto agreed to it, and that kind of changed things. But I wasn't happy for the reasons of COVID. It was awful. But I was excited because I wanted to do more. I was glad because I was getting better at these. And I was my techniques, the flow loop technique that I call them, I was developing a great theme, and I could see the potential, especially with COVID and Black Lives Matter and gender identity stuff that was going on, the election craziness. This instead, some violin players would go on a balcony and play a violin to like reach out to the community, to the world for positivity. I was said, I'm going to make more of these big faces, and I'm going to like tell the stories of everybody. And it was medical workers, people in the arts, entrepreneurs. It could be just a mom, a single mom, a cancer survivor, a postal worker, a grocery store worker. It's a
life.
It's a story of diversity, but it's a story about diversity of stories, too.
And how many in total were you able to pull together?
There's 81, if I counted right.
Oh, how long did it take you to make all
this? It was 2.5 years. So I kept making them, and then as I made them, COVID kept pushing, so there was no venue, there was no opportunity. And then I'd find a venue, and I'd grow out of it, because there were too many. And... in February of this year, one of my subjects, David Motley, he's a philanthropist and a businessman. He paints at my studio, just the nicest guy. He sent me a text message, Tom, I think I have a building for you, the Energy Innovation Center. And this place was a revelation. It's unbelievable. It's a place that it's hidden in plain sight. You drive by it all the time. A spectacular view of the city and the Covestro Bright Space and the Covestro Company's my presenting sponsor. They recognized the diversity that I was pushing through in the show. And they're doing the same with the company. So it's like... It was a godsend.
Nice marriage,
financially, because the artwork's not for sale.
And why is that? Why is the artwork not for sale? Too personal to you?
No, it's just, it's not about selling the art. It's like, it's going to come back twofold in PR, but it was just a passion project. You know, artists and dancers, you want to make a political statement, but you want to, like, make a statement that helps.
How would you describe to someone that doesn't know your art, how would you describe the style that you do?
It's very focused on ADD. A lot of free time, a lot of coffee. But I started out as a commercial illustrator doing magazine work, a lot of sports stuff. I have an agent, Tracy Specka, of Sports and the Arts. I do work for sports arenas around the country, and that could, using sort of my commercial background, because I get an assignment, I have to do it. So it would be logo treatments, giant football players, giant hockey players, landscape paintings, like I did 43 pieces for U.S. Bank Arena in Minnesota, the Viking Stadium, 42 pieces for San Francisco 49ers Stadium, Levi's Stadium. So it's an amazing gig for me. But you have to be versatile in the arts, you know. So I've worked in all media. I've done children's portraits. I've done dog portraits to get by. It's like... Like
you talked earlier too about your techniques. They're unusual. There are
everything
flow,
that I've done.
Funnel,
I've used
flow, and loop. What does that even mean?
So when I was a kid, I used to, you know, when you're a kid, you had Maria, you danced a certain way, and it's still there. That 15-year-old, that 10-year-old, that 20-year-old is still there. So I love drawing in circles. And so a lot of the illustration work, I'm compelled to draw in circles. And so my business advisor said, brand it, give it a name. So I call it the loop technique. If you look on, you Google it, you'll see a lot of crocheting in me.
How did you, both hands, though, you see? That's pretty amazing.
Well, just right? Playing Little League baseball, I pitched with both hands, and I would get a sore elbow, and I said,
so you were an athlete, too.
You could throw lefty and righty.
Yeah.
Jimmy and I find it hard to clap.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
Right, Jim?
Yes.
I mean, it's not easy. So what did
I get injured walking.
I'm curious, Maria, what did you think when you saw Tom's work of you?
Oh, my God, I loved it. I'm a huge fan of Tom's work, always have been. And I remember even when we were at the Maker's Fair, or we were out in painting together, he allowed me to be part of his process. And I learned...
He danced on a canvas.
And
In the grass.
He's painted me it live, too. I've had clothes
I painted,
on,
right.
painted me. Oh, my gosh, we've done so many things together. But I've actually... So, As a person,
she was fully clothed.
I was fully clothed. Yes,
I was naked. I was
wondering about that.
So, I was completely nude. No, I had clothes on.
Too. I have actually.
Tom was
I have,
naked.
No. I have actually physically felt his work and how he actually uses his hands to paint and kind of it is interesting just from the perspective of watching him do it, and then also learning about his technique and then experiencing him. It with him side by side, and then also him actually painting on me. So I think that I probably have the best perspective inside and out of. And that does sound terrible.
Well, I know, Maria, I know your father, and I know he would want to own this painting, but it's available.
I know. Which, you know, I greatly respect that it is a passion project. Actually, I was with my father this morning for his birthday. I stopped by and I showed him the painting, and he was very excited. About it. And I think what you're doing is, I think what Tom's doing is tremendous. I love, in each face, you can see the beauty behind his technique, his artistry, but also his passion for people and passion for interaction with other human beings and not just about him producing his vision of what he sees in that person, but also what they see in themselves. So like when I look at my own face, right. I see that he's taken time to understand who I am and what my vision is, not just as a person and as an artist, but as someone who is an activist in the community. And right. I think that this exhibition really ties together a really beautiful cross-section of human beings in this area who are, you know, trying to push forward their independent voices, and it kind of brings us all together. And I think that his loop, I find that that's what I love most about Tom's work, is that it has this like looping circular feel to it, so it feels inclusive.
Very physical.
It feels inclusive, physical, and never ending. And so I feel like this is just like, you know, the beginning of something really, really special that may lead into other pieces that will be for sale at some point in time.
Well, I would like to see another of those installation performance pieces in the future.
Yes.
Got some space here.
Love
to see.
I went to a KISS concert last summer, and they had the opening act was an artist who went up on stage and just took paint out of buckets and just kind of threw it up on a canvas. And then at the end, he flipped it up. Upside down, or flipped it up. Right. He was painting upside down. I didn't realize, and it was the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, that's a really cool gig.
It was amazing. Yeah. But I was going to point out earlier, though, that stereotypically, I think we think of artists as people being introverts. You know, they lock themselves in a room, and they're painting and so forth. But you seem to be an extrovert. And
that doesn't seem to be Tom's issue.
I think I love collaboration. Like you three are collaborating, and. I think as an artist, sculptors, talking to your sculptor friends, they have to share machines. So they're very social because they go out and get beers afterwards. Hey, can you help me with this machine? Artists, sometimes it's very solitary, but that's why I love collaborating. I've had a couple shows, one with Sarah Zuffero. She's an artist. She's one of the big faces. We painted side by side. I did a mural in New Jersey. It's the largest interior mural in the world. and I'm still tired from it, in 2007. And we painted, my team of four artists, we painted with both hands at the same time. I didn't want any solid color. So what you do to make everything match, you just switch sides. You paint, fill an area, two hands, and then you switch sides so it all kind of blends together. Hmm. I think I was, you were talking about sports and arts, what the correlation is. Mm-hmm. I gave a commencement speech a couple years ago at my high school. I did it twice in 5 years. They forgot that I did it. So I did it twice.
Made an impression.
So I'm having all kinds of high school nightmares because of it. I was having a coffee with a buddy of mine a couple days before the second speech, and he said, "Tom, you had to encapsulate your speech. That's going to change and mold young minds. What would that one word be?" And I said, "I have no flipping idea." And then I thought, "That's it. Idea.
Yeah.
That's the word. It's the most important word in any language besides pizza, love, peace, and wine, and babies and puppies.
Chocolate.
But everything that we do is an idea. If you're improvising, have these micro ideas.
Mm-hmm.
The shirt that you choose to wear, the cereal you choose to wear. That's why we love sports. And you're playing tennis. Every shot is an idea.
Right.
Backhand to your forehand to your backhand, lob, chip. You know, that was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why people love
so cool
playing sports.
Brought all that together, and Maria Angelica Caruso is one of the faces of Tom Mosser. Thanks,
a really big face.
She looks good,
in.
Pink hair and eyebrows,
I love
hot pink hair.
You have pink hair. I'm colorblind,
but not
completely colorblind. Yeah,
yeah.
That'll be episode 38. Meanwhile, we thank you for being
thank
here,
for
Maria.
Thank you, Maria.
We're going to meet Corey behind the Energy Innovation Center. Coming up, and another one of your subjects as well.
Cool.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland. It's episode 37. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 37 with legendary artist Tom Mosser. It's Canvestro Presents Really Big Faces by Tom.
TomMosserDesign.com. Just
energy,
saying.
Tom Mosser.
Really good at plugging things, Tom.
Yeah, he does.
It's very nice.
He does it all. That's what's cool about Tom is, you know, he's not afraid to say he was the pirate parrot.
No,
and he did that with passion. Right. So whatever you do in life, you do with passion, and it makes a difference. We've met people along the way, Jimmy, in our travels, where there's just something about them in their role that you see. We were talking about Corey,
Chai
being a security guard. What if that's all you thought of him to be and not known that there's this great art
passion? We were talking about that off the air a little bit. Yeah, it's pretty amazing, actually.
81 different really big faces, and we brought two more. So introduce us to our latest victims. No, that's not what he mean.
First of all, he has the coolest name in the room, Chef Claudie Pierre.
Oui. Oh, that's
oui.
Cool.
Comment ça va?
Claudie Pierre?
Oui.
That is a good
je te toi, mon ami, bonsoir.
Oh, wow.
And Zach Rutter. He is a great painter and a YouTuber and a dad of a, like, two-year-old.
Yes.
Oh,
happy to be here. Happy to be here.
Believe it or not, me and Zach got to work together for the first time for Valentine's Day.
Yep.
And so it's crazy. Like,
seriously?
Well, serendipitous, if you will.
Now, wait a minute. So as the chef and then an artist and a YouTuber, how did you two manage to work together?
So I actually had my first museum show at the Mattress Factory for Valentine's Day. Every year for the last 4 years, I've done a Valentine's Day art show as a way to welcome the community in. It's all about love, single people, couples. 1 year, people actually got engaged at my Valentine's Day show, but Chef Love right here was actually the one that provided all the food and left everyone well-fed at the end of that night, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, he has his signature heart that goes on all his paintings, or majority of them. Mm. And, like, honestly, I didn't know. Like, they call me Chef Love, literally. Like, that's, like, my like, tag name. So I do a lot of things. I have created something called the EAT Initiative, EAT, Empowerment, Awareness, and Training Initiative. And basically, it's to empower the community around food, healthy food, also just get food is a basic human right. We believe that everyone should have access to fresh produce and food. So I get the, you know, I get the likes of the legendary Tom Mosser.
The legendary. It's TomMosserDesign.com. Instagram at Really Big Faces. Just saying. Thank you, Chef Claudie Pierre.
Oui. But I also get to do a lot of things with a lot of, you know, athletes and doctors and, you know, a lot of food. But then my passion project is the EAT Initiative. And we get to deal with the community. And it's so fun. This week weekend, we're celebrating Juneteenth. In addition to the beautiful exhibit that's happening at the Energy and Innovation Center, which is where my kitchen is, actually. And when I say unassuming, that building is unassuming. You do not know what's going on in there. It's like a lair, right? It's like one of those, like,
bat cave.
This is a bat cave. There's like, you know, actually, roof comes open. And
I did a podcast there with Gus Farai.
Yeah, that's our guy.
You know Gus?
Yeah, of course.
Gus played. He's from, you know, Armstrong County. He played for the Washington Redskins, was a pro
quarterback.
Quarterback. Yeah, he played for a bunch of teams, the Miami Dolphins. But he's such a good guy. He's got his passion. Yeah. So he had me on to talk about some football stuff.
Absolutely.
You know? But Chef Love.
Yes.
So as have you been on the YouTube, Zach? What's this YouTube?
Coming.
You're a YouTuber. You're the first person in my life that anyone ever described as, and he's a YouTuber.
Okay.
A lot of shuffle, like, lot of like shuffle dancing.
I want to be a YouTuber. We want to be YouTubers, too.
Okay. I don't have that one.
By no means at the level of you got your podcast, but my YouTube series, I like to tell people, it's like a mix between Bob Ross and Mr. Rogers, but not as good. So,
okay. It's really good.
I do professional art videos documenting the canvases I'm working on, the murals I'm painting around the city of Pittsburgh, and I do a how to follow your dreams type video series that started around the same time as his really big faces. This was a COVID project. I was stuck in my studio. Right. Had nothing to do but film myself talking to myself, and that led to, I think I'm on my 56th YouTube video highlighting these different journeys, these different processes, art history,
teaching, how-to videos. You had one different about murals, different techniques.
I actually did I recently went to Africa back in November, and I did his flow technique for paintings that I took with me to Africa. So I did a little video kind of doing my cheap.
Tell them about Africa, like, what it was with a school.
Yep.
Fighting off a lion with one hand.
No. West Africa, no lions, goats and chickens for the most part. But
incidentally, you have paint streaks all over your pants.
Exactly. Where people see your work.
I have murals all over the city. Corey's from Braddock, and the Free Store with Giselle Fetterman actually has a giant, a concrete sculpture that of my son heart that we were talking about a second ago that's out in front of it. All of Forbes Avenue has a bunch of different mural projects.
It was on Pat Buss's.
What would you say is your most prominent visually in the city that everyone goes, oh, I've seen that. I didn't know the guy behind it.
The Love Bus. If you guys have seen a giant bright blue Port Authority bus that drives around with sun hearts all over it, that's Zachary Rudder Art. And Tom was nice enough to even add my sun heart to the paint.
Sun hut.
Nice. Yeah, but Chef, that's your bus.
So
yeah,
really. I want to ask the chef, though. I think of being a chef creating food as artistry in and of itself. Wouldn't you agree?
Culinary art, for sure. And it's funny because I get to engage with so many different people. I mean, and I am fortunate enough to say, I think it's the one thing that really, truly, at the core, brings everybody together. White, black, tall, short, sports, non-sports, athletes. When you put some good-smelling food out on that table, you hear me? Like, everybody in here kind of started cheesing a little bit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, literally, pun intended, it's so... you get fed. Right. We feed
some. And what did you bring us to eat today?
So cheese on it?
Next time I will.
Where did you grow up, Chef?
Oh, so my family's from Haiti. So I'm a second generation. My mother, father, born, married in Haiti. They came over to Brooklyn in the 1980s. So I'm born in Brooklyn and grew up in Brooklyn, Jersey-ish area. I was actually just there for my grandmother's funeral, who passed away, who taught me how to cook, who literally is the person who literally put food in my hands and said, hey, I'm going to trade all the nonsense and I'm going to give you these lessons, you know, and that is why it's so passionate.
Weren't you essentially like the house chef growing up?
I was.
For eight, nine?
Everyone, full family?
Siblings?
The funniest thing is she's the most creative person. She's so sneaky, my grandmother, right? She literally, I'm over here trying to sneak and, you know, taste food. So she's like, hey, I gotta wait for you to always taste the food first. You know what I mean? Come and help me do a couple of things. Next thing you know, you're talking about she's in her room screaming from her room. Yeah, take the rice off now and put that. So now I'm in the kitchen by myself all the time. And then all my siblings, I have eight siblings and countless cousins. My parents didn't really watch TV. They just, you know,
but that's why you're the
love.
Okay.
A lot of love in a lot of different ways.
And
so I'm in the kitchen and all my siblings are constantly like, hey, can you add this for me? Take mine out first. And I don't want this. And so next thing you know, I'm literally doing all these preparations and different things. And it's funny because it's my happy place. It's literally where I get to get away. It's where I bond with my children. It's where, like I can be at an event, and if I'm down or if I'm up, I can actually just become one with the meal. And that's why I tell people, you can tell when someone did not want to cook for you. You can always tell.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're like, this you're right.
It could be a chicken wing.
It's true.
Like, how did you mess up chicken wings? You know what I mean? Because they want to. And if they want to.
You haven't eaten my food.
What's your go-to dish?
Honestly, my go-to is anything comfort. I love stews. I love things that you braise or cook over time, low and slow. I do love gamey stuff. So if I'm not doing that, I'm like kind of like a, I would say lamb. I love lamb. All so kind of cuts of lamb.
Chef Cloudy and his team are working really big faces. He's one of my sponsors as well for an exchange, but his team is going to be handling all the food preparation. We're going to have two food trucks. But you can, this show is not my show. This is our show, the way I look at it. I have people are asking me, are you nervous? Are you stressed out about it? And I have so many good people that are helping me. Corey Bonet from the Energy Innovation Center. Chef Cloud, you have him backing you. The Innovation Center itself, my fiance, Myra LaRusso, has been amazing organizing my head because somebody donated $100, another $100, and she itemizes because every sign has to have their name on it. This is our show, and it's this sharing the story, the people. I'm just the vehicle that pushed it around. And there hasn't been any negative.
How long will the exhibit be available for people at the Energy Innovation Center?
So it's going to run for 3 weeks, and we're working on a secondary show probably the last week of the run. It's going to be hopefully a performance by TK Kavi, a band, and it'll be more food and drink, but for the people who couldn't make it or people wanted to get seconds. And, that's a pretty time. Wow, it just came to me. And just, that was an idea.
Just when you said the Energy Innovation Center, so my kitchen is also there. So shout out to Energy Innovation Center, all the people that are making this happen. The creative thing about it is, I always say, and people think it's funny, energy is never created or destroyed. We learned that like in what? Third, fourth grade science, right?
Some guy named Al Einstein.
Yeah, something like that, right? Some guy, right? But it's only transferred. And this is an art show that literally energy has been transferred in so many different ways. It's unreal. From other artists, from food, to literally like every single way that you could think of, energy and love has been transferred. That's why when he says that, he is not lying about, I mean, I'm calling him like, look, we're going to be fine. I don't care what the budget is. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to get you food. We're going to open up. We're going to do what we have to do. And it's just like so easy. When you're doing events, everyone here knows it's a nightmare because you're anxious inside. You got to work with all these people and all these different faces and everybody else. And it's just been like, all right, cool. Let's do it. You know what I mean?
If he wasn't involved, I'd be ordering pizza and like, it's out of my genius has many limitations. And that's one of them. I have to thank Andy Petkash too. P-E-T-K-A-C. He built from scratch 60 frames and 40 easels from scratch for the show. It doesn't happen with Andy. He's a craftsman and artist and he's a genius, and he's at the building right now setting up for me.
And Zach, what's your background that got you into your passion and also made you a YouTuber?
My passion is just meeting people. I mean, that's what I love about the Really Big Faces series is that it's just bringing people together. And my passion has always been making art that makes people feel special, that makes people want to communicate and talk to one another.
And you've done live painting with bands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be a band playing at your you had a couple shows, and the band's playing, and you're painting.
Definitely.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up?
I'm from the West Mifflin area. Yeah, so I grew up in West Mifflin. I've always been a huge comic book fan. So, like, I started reading comics as a kid. That led to drawing the covers, which led to now I paint on top of comic books. And I actually use it as my technique. I do a series of works through the comic grid system where I collage comic books on canvas and then transfer my images using the comic books as the guide. And I'm able to paint big.
And you paintings. Did a mural at the school in Africa.
Yes, I did. Oh, I did three murals at the school in Africa while I was there.
Was it for a church or was it?
It was a school, a schoolhouse through Hope for Ghana, which is another Pittsburgh foundation. We raised money through crowdfunding for me to go for 2 weeks. I pretty much lived in the village the whole entire time. I painted three massive walls in the schoolhouses. It was fantastic.
Not bad for a kid from Kennywood.
Seriously.
Right?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Hey, I wake up every day pinching myself because I'm like, what did I do to deserve any of this?
But that's so cool. Yeah. Interesting.
So how do we find you on YouTube?
So there's Zachary Rutter Art is my YouTube channel, but my series is Studio Time with Zach. We're currently working on an hour documentary highlighting the entire trip to Ghana, and it's called Spread Love Ghana. It was videographer. We were able to raise enough money to hire a videographer. It's getting edited together, and we're hoping to not shop it around, but show it off to as many people as possible. Let them see what crowdfunding can do to change lives and people in areas where they really don't have very much.
Ghana's up by Meadville, Larry.
You turn turn left at Meadville and go south.
Far away. Far away. That.
Chef Love, you've adapted well to being a Yinzer.
I love Pittsburgh. This is part of why I do. It's a town. It's not a city. It's a town. Pittsburgh is a town. And you got to appreciate, even from the different areas, how people come together. And I always say it's a tale of two pandemics. There was a pandemic where people were dying and it was horrible and it sucked, right? But there was another pandemic around food specifically where I got to meet some of the most beautiful people, and from all walks of life, real high net worth to very low net worth, to black to white to I mean, when I tell you people that you would never think would work together.
Right.
And through food, we were able to feed, I think it was over 110,000 hot meals. You know, we were able to do over 80,000 what we call blessing boxes. So we get them from all over. We get them from the, you know, food bank, right, from wherever, but we call them blessing boxes. So, you know,
I like that.
I love it. Thank you.
So,
blessing, yeah.
Tom, congratulations.
Proud of you, bud.
This is it's a hit. I mean, art is.
Congratulations to you guys too. This is amazing. You guys are amazing.
Congratulations, just
the people you've introduced us to, and the background stories with Corey Ochai, and of course we know Maria Angelica Caruso, and some famous faces, some people that aren't household names, but each and every one of them have a fascinating background, and I appreciate you sharing that with us, man. This is cool.
Thank you, Larry. I really, really appreciate it. I'm going to leave the studio and cry.
Good luck. I'll hold you. Really Big Faces by Tom Mosser. Zach, good luck. And
thank you.
Chef Cloudy, Chef Love.
Chef Love, Chef Cloudy. Just don't call me late for dinner. That's
all. Nice.
Thanks for love with us. Wow. We want to thank Dick Roberts, our producer, and Vic Pascarelli, who engineered this episode, did a great job, and I think he gets it. When we bring people together, there's always this amazing revelation of people in our town here that are doing the right thing every day. And it's so easy to forget that when you're in the news business, that there are a lot more good than bad. So thank you, guys.
Yes, and everyone has a story to tell.
Yes.
That's the whole idea behind these faces. Everybody has.
That's the foundation of the show. Read the stories. Look at the big noses, but read the stories.
Convestro again presents Really Big Faces. Tom Mosser. Thanks, Tom. Tell Nancy, your sister, I said hi, and brother-in-law, Jack.
I will.
Okay, you can't say I don't know Jack, because I know Jack.
You know Jack.
Jimmy,
brother.
And Sheila, thank you. Maria Caruso, let's hear it for Maria Caruso.
Maria.
Corey Ochai. Zach, Chef Love, thank you, guys. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenz, Sheila Heinlein, episode 37. That's a wrap.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.